Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how should they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together, Lord. I pray that you would bless the message and stir our hearts. Now, Lord, the world tends to crowd in on us at times, and even, Lord, on a Sunday night as we come in, sometimes following us in the door are our responsibilities and the cares of life and tomorrow's worries and yesterday's wonders. And Lord, I would just pray that we'd make a real conscious effort with the help of your Holy Spirit to push all those things back outside the doors of and walls of this place. And Lord, for the next several minutes, Lord, we'd open our heart, open our Bibles, and just focus in on the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, thank you for choosing to use preaching during this time, Lord. You've chosen to manifest your Word to the preaching. And Lord, I pray that you would please make yourself known to us, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. During the month of February, I want to preach a four-sermon series on the making of a missionary, the making of a missionary. This is not a series of sermons for those who have surrendered to go to some foreign field, because as you've heard your preacher say many times, I believe that God wants every Christian to be a missionary. I'm going to preach four messages. Number one, the feet of a missionary. Next week, Lord willing, the eyes of a missionary. And then week three, the heart of a missionary. And lastly, the hands of a missionary. Now, I want to preach them in that specific order, because in order to become a missionary, it starts with your feet. It starts with your feet. The very first step is to go. Say, preacher, why is that? Because you'll never see what you need to see until you go. And you'll never feel what you need to feel until you see. And you'll never do what you need to do until you feel and see and go. Yes? The Bible order is feet, eyes, heart, hands, because the Bible order is to go, see, feel, and then do something about it. To become a missionary, it begins with your feet. Because the first step to becoming anything God wants you to be is obedience. Obedience. Our preacher this morning reminded us that faith is simply obedience. I like to say it this way. Faith is obeying what you understand and trusting God to work out what you don't understand. In evangelism, faith is exercised, first of all, by going, by being obedient to the command to go. Going before you can see, going before your heart wants to, going before you even know all that God wants you to do. To be a missionary, it must start with your feet. Jesus gives us an example in Matthew chapter 9. It says, and Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Then it goes on to say this, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. First Jesus went, and then he saw the multitudes, and then he was moved with compassion. You know what he did? He then rolled up his sleeves and began to teach in the synagogues and preach the gospel and heal the sick and every disease. I can't do all of those things, but I can sure join him in preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel with those that need to be saved. I want to speak tonight on this subject, the feet of a missionary. Please listen, because I don't want you to just hear tonight this message. I want to hear you to hear three very specific things that I'm going to talk to you about. Please ask the Holy Spirit to activate your spiritual hearing, because you'll need it if you're going to hear the three things that I'm asking you to listen for tonight. First of all, I want you to listen for the echoes of footsteps past. The echoes of footsteps past. You know what? Me and my wife, there's some things that you miss, many things that you miss when you get to the empty nest stage of life. I kiddingly say that people ask me about what the empty nest phase of life is all about, and I tell them, listen, let me just prep you for this, because the first 20 minutes is horrible. And then after that, you look around and kind of go, whoa, you know, like that. But I talk a good talk. I'm not sure I always live that thing out completely. But we were talking the other day. We've said this several times. We're in the house together, and we're sitting in the living room. The one thing that we still can't get used to is just how quiet it is. Now, I have young mothers that would love to know what that was like just for a few minutes or just a couple hours. But I promise you, one of these days, you're going to miss the pitter-patter of little feet when we would be in our room or on that end of the house. The girls' bedrooms were upstairs, and I can't tell you how many times in the course of the day you'd hear sometimes one of them coming and going at the same time, like that, you know. And I told her maybe we should have recorded that so some nights we could just play it and then feel like we're not missing. What is that, preacher? What were you listening? That's called the echoes of footsteps past. Tonight I want you to listen. Remember, evangelism begins with the feet. Tonight I want you to hear it. This week, as we scatter from this place, we're going to leave in just a few minutes, and we're going to go into our different lives, and we're going to drive and walk the country roads and the city streets of our the circle that defines our rural small town area where God's called us to make a difference. I would wish for you to pull off to the side in some of these little towns and boroughs and burgs around here. I wish you'd maybe even going down a country road, maybe you'd stop and you'd listen. Take time to hear the echoes of footsteps past. You see, folks, this church is now generational. We're living in an interesting time in our church's history and life. And I want you to know this, the people that will go out there with the beautiful feet to do what God loves, and that's to share the gospel this week, I want you to understand that there's many, many people that have went before us. And if you'll listen, you can still hear their echoes. If you drive by Midland, maybe you ought to just kind of take a right and go into Midland a little ways and pull the car over and turn the motor off and roll down the window. Maybe if you're over in Vicksburg or you're here in Jacksonville, do the same thing. Stop, listen. You'll hear the echo of the footsteps of a 35-year-old young pastor who's just been used of God to birth a brand new church. You know what you'll hear? You'll hear the echo of the footsteps of Pastor Robert Ross, of his wife Donna Ross, as they walk the streets and the sidewalks, up one walk to a door and back down to the next house, over and over and over again. Young adults, as you go throughout our area this week and you're running around in your busy life, please hear the echo of the footsteps of people that went before you. Understand that you're now, yes, the 20, 30s and 40-somethings, but it wasn't that long ago. There was a whole different group of 20, 30s and 40-somethings. And you know what? What you are enjoying in this church today is largely a result of the echoes of those footsteps as they went out and were faithful in the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, if you happen to be going through Duggar, why don't you pull over? Just maybe off the main drag into a small neighborhood somewhere and turn off the car and roll down the windows and stop and listen. If you'll listen carefully, you'll be able to hear the steady plodding of Bo Eichelman's footsteps as he drives his truck from one house to another, jumps out, and then walks up to a door again and again and again and again, week after week after week after week. You'll hear the echo of his footprints footsteps. As you go through Linton, by the way, listen, there's echoes of footsteps there. I know Brother John Reiser cannot be out there now doing what he did 20 years ago, but you can still, Sister Terry, hear the echoes of your husband's footsteps when he did have the help and he did have the strength to go out there and chase those kids and make those visits. And by the way, you don't have to listen for echoes. Sister Terry's footsteps are still out there. And I know Lynette's, sometimes weeks it might be footsteps, might be the squeaking of the wheelchair wheels. Other times, it all depends on how much attention she wants at that given time. But she's still doing it. She's still, Sister Darcy, for how many years now? I mean, I know how old she is. She's an old, old woman. And yet she's still out there. She's still, you can still, listen, folks, what I'm telling you is that if you'll listen, there's echoes of footsteps of those that have gone before you. I knocked on the door over here. Some of you will know where Bill and Jan Simpson lived in Hymera on Main Drag there for years and years. I knocked on that door, talked to a young couple. Actually, didn't talk to the couple. I talked to the young man that I'm assuming he had a wife and was there. I knocked on the door about 11 o'clock. He came to the door wrapped in a blanket and pulled his hand out and took the material, and I quickly fled, but I couldn't help but walk away from Bill Simpson's front door and remember, you know, before it, listen, somebody walked those streets for the first time. Somebody knocked on those doors for the first time. Somebody signed up a bus kid for the first time. And you can still listen and hear, if you will, the echoes of those that have gone before you. Listen, teenagers, I want you to hear what I'm going to say now. As you walk up to the front door, and many of our teenagers will this Wednesday afternoon, and I want to say this, I'm thankful to you, and I'm going to tip my hat to you in just a minute, but I want you to listen maybe a little bit this Wednesday afternoon and stop and listen. You see, if you listen hard, you'll hear the footsteps echo from 42 years ago. The footsteps of the first teenage young man who ever walked to that front door of the church to join men on Thursday evening to go soul winning. Up to that time, a teenage young man had never walked to the door, never joined the men in soul winning. But that particular day, a 16-year-old young man did it. Listen, he didn't know what he would see. He didn't yet know what his heart would feel. He had no idea what God had in store for his hands to do. All he knew was that he had a command from the Lord Jesus Christ, and God had smote his heart because of his disobedience. And not knowing anything, he just decided the first thing is to go. The first thing is to go. For the next 2 years, as he was 16 and 17 and turned 18, you know what? His footsteps echoed and followed older men who would teach him and introduce him to the idea of winning souls and inviting people to church. You know what? After that 2 year time, you won't hear his footsteps because they're going to fade and you won't hear them in this area. And by the way, they're quiet for the next 15 years, at least for here. But I want you to know, if you went to Northwest Indiana, you'd still hear the echoes of that young man as he walked door to door each weekend, learning from better soul winners how to be a better soul winner. If you go into the inner city of Chicago for 6 years, there's 6 years of echoes. Him and an army of other teens and 20-somethings, you know what, could have been doing anything they wanted to do in life and could have listened to those that propagate the lie that Bible college is a waste of time. But you know what? He decided that, you know what, I'm going to learn to win people to Christ. I'm going to make a difference in my youth. I'm not going to live it for me. I'm going to live it for Jesus. And we went as a great army. And the echoes these many years later, as we marched each weekend into the devil's backyard, we went and marched into the darkness and the inner city despair, but we didn't go there without a purpose. We were bringing light and hope and a message of deliverance and salvation to show them the path to a better life and the way to go to heaven. You can drive north of here to Brazil, Indiana, and for that 15-year period where there's no echoes here, you can, if you'll listen, you'll hear for 7 years the echoes of past footsteps, that of him and his young wife, and often the patter of those little children's feet as they walk behind us every street, up and down to every door, to bring the gospel to every person who would take the time to listen and leave the gospel waiting for those that were not home. Wait a minute, watch this. Don't rush off. Listen, young people, next Wednesday, don't rush off. Stand out there on the ramp next Wednesday and listen, because those 16-year-old footsteps echo back into the church 15 years later. They stand before teens to tell them that the Great Commission's not just for adults. And by the way, if you listen, there they go again, the same footsteps. Now a little older, maybe a little more confident, maybe with greater faith, but not alone this time. There are teenage footsteps that now join him and his wife. First, a dozen teenagers go, and then later on, 20 teenagers go. And as the years unfold, it grows to 30 and then 40, and they march through snow and walk through sleet and stick to bubbling tar on 100-degree days and shuffle through fall's leaves and spring's dandelions up one street, down the next. By the way, they're not out there being miserable. Listen as you hear their laughter, feel their heart. See their boldness. Listen to teenagers lead people in a word of prayer and lead them through the Romans road, boldly quoting Roman verses and their own salvation testimonies. By the way, some of those teens now are in their 40s. And by the way, you can still hear their feet marching up and down streets. Not all of them are here, but you can still hear their feet marching up and down streets. Some of them now have the beautiful feet of pastors and pastors' wives and assistant pastors and youth leaders. And by the way, they're leading other groups out to do what somebody once led them out to do. Some of those teens are still in this church, and they still now as adults walk the same streets they did as a teenager, doing the same thing. Only now they're Sunday school teachers and deacons' wives and bus captains and bus workers and soul winners. Listen for the echoes of past footsteps. You'll hear the footsteps of my mother as she's out chasing down wayward Sunday school girls. Back then, sure steps, young steps, athletic steps. They're not yet slowed by age and aches. No neuropathy in those days. But you can hear the footsteps of that generation. You can hear the footsteps of a Jack and Penny Gordon as they visit teens, long ago teenagers. Those teenagers now would be in their 50s and their 60s. By the way, some still are alive, and some of those teenagers are dead. Some are living blessed lives because they came to church and listened and decided that they would buy into what the Word of God said. And some who failed to listen now know and live out the consequences of those decisions. Here, this is it, what I need you to do, church. Hear the echoes of the footsteps of men that are now in heaven. They finished their course. All right, they're done. They ran their race. Okay, now they peer over the banisters of heaven, praying that God would somehow fill the gap left by the echoes of their own footsteps. Hear the echoes of men now in heaven as they marched out into the community every Thursday night to witness and invite and try to make a difference. Hear the echoes of footsteps of past Sunday school teachers, now long gone. As they visited their children and witnessed to those children's parents and wore out shoe leather and calloused their knuckles and carried out New Testaments, especially those pages that had the Romans Road. Are you listening to me? I want our church never to forget that there's been a lot of people that came before us that believed the Bible, bought into it, went to work, rolled up their sleeves, and decided the Great Commission was not something you could pay somebody else to do, but you could do it yourself. I'm glad that's not all that I'm going to ask you to hear tonight. Because not only if you'll listen, will you hear the echoes of footsteps past, but you'll hear the right now, present day marching of the footsteps of those that still are doing this in Blessed Hope Baptist Church every single week of their life. I'm glad that teenage soul winning isn't something we talk about in past tense, but I'm glad that this coming Thursday or Wednesday, there's a new group of teenagers with a new passion and a new fervor and a new desire to carry on the torch and bring the gospel to the lost. And by the way, young people, I'm proud of you and I'm thankful for you. And I don't want you just to do it when you're in 7th and 8th and 9th and 10th and 11th and 12th grade and then somehow buy into the lie that the minute you graduate and move on, you're no longer responsible to carry out the Great Commission.
If I had graduated and I was still in this church, I would be at teen soul winning. I'd be teen soul when I'm 19 or 20 or 21 or 22. If nothing else, maybe to show the young people that this isn't something you quit when you graduate, or I would at least be involved in another soul winning effort. Please don't tell me we trained you for 6 years every week to be a soul winner and now you've decided that you're an adult and that's no longer important. The marching of footsteps present, the marching of young people as they go out. I was thinking about the marching of the footsteps present every single week to those that are involved in Operation Occupation in this past year. Brother Young is over there in Section 4, and you know what? He's marching. Brother Eric Harrison has come alongside and helped, and Miss Rachel Byburn, Miss Sarah Wilkes, and folks, they're every week you can still hear those footsteps. They're still marching on. Jeff Scales stepped up and took an area this year, and Brother Jack Gordon's been faithful to go along beside him, and I know my wife and Sister Penny has helped some on that, and I've taken a couple of sections, and me and Brother Ron Williams, along with Dave and Jessica, was helping us before they went up to Indianapolis, and some others have helped, but you know what, Brother, every single week, hey, that 16-year-old boy's still out there. He's 58 and he's still out there. And I'm asking God to let me still be out there when I'm 59 and 60 and 61 and 62. Think about Brother Brian Morris, who's already busy and runs a bus route. But he said, "Preacher, we're already over there. I think me and my family, we can do it." And he just takes on another thing. Nathaniel Klein and being helped by Lucas Abel and Craig and Darla Klein and Jeff Reiser's pitched in and helped in that area. We're still marching. We're still marching. Greg Abel Adria has joined together and they took a section. And then Brother Greg told me and said, came to me the other day and said, J.R. Weddle and Jim McGraw's doing more of the section than we are. Why don't you make J.R. Weddle the leader of that section? I said, I don't care. Sure. All right, let's vote on it. We all voted and we elected him. But J.R. Weddle and Jim McGraw every single Saturday have faithfully met together. And you know what? You can still hear the marching of their footsteps. Chad Gord, Brother Chad and his wife, Miss Rachel, along with the help of others, have jumped in and helped, and he's taken a couple of sections, and Josh Davis and Sister Dawn took a section, and we tried having Nathan lead it, and Josh and Dawn helped them. That didn't go very well, and so we put Josh in charge this time with Nathan and Lauren helping, and that's gone much, much better. It's all a matter of getting the right person to lead something, amen. Diana Bernard, you know what Diana's gone through in the last 6 months. Can I tell you this, folks? Her and her and Miss Rachel over here, you know what? Through everything that she's gone through, they just keep meeting and they just keep going and they just keep knocking on doors. And you know what? I think God's blessing them and has blessed them in a very public way in the last few weeks because of what he's, you know, Brother Isaac came to me and Miss Laura. When I started this ministry and they were in the middle of dealing with cases situation and if there's anybody that deserved and would have been given a pass by the pastor, but when I first introduced Operation Occupation, Brother Isaac walked up and said, "Me and my wife want to have a part of this." And you know what? Sometimes we can get a nurse to watch a case and we can always figure out something and we can get this done and we'll get it done. And you know, for the second year in a row, along with Tom and Stephanie Walton helping them, have gone down there and taken a section and worked on that and done it and pulled it off. Folks, listen to me. Are you hearing me? Yes, sir. The marching still goes on. The footsteps still go on. You see, it's not just what happened in the past. It's what needs to happen today. I think about our bus ministry people, and every single week, an army of our bus ministry people. You see, they've gone back and they've looked at that map and they've said, "This is the section, this is the area that God has given me to reach." And you know what, folks, listen to me. I've got third shift coal miners that honestly they work 6 days, 5 days, 6 days, 5 days. I think that's what you're working right now, Brother Val. Are you listening to me? Sometimes 10-hour shifts, sometimes 12-hour shifts. But you know what? If you listen, you can still hear. Maybe they're a little bit tired on some weekends, but you can still hear the marching of the footsteps as they go forth to go out and try to reach one more kid. Why? So a little kid can come from Jasonville and get saved this morning. That's why. Sunday school teachers, thank you. Listen, keep marching, keep marching, keep marching. Preacher, I can't see, only do so much, then do what you can do. Keep marching. Just go visit that one Sunday school kid. Maybe that one boy that fell out of class, that one girl that fell out of class. Hey, you know what? Just don't write them off. Could you go see them? Would you go walk up to the door? Would you talk to their parents? I'm thinking about a Sunday school teacher years ago who had a boy that quit coming to church, and he got burdened about him, a teenage boy, and he worked at a little shoe shop, and this Sunday school teacher said, oh, you know what, I'm not going to give up on that kid. And he went to where the young man worked in his shoe shop and pulled him out into the park, into the sidewalk, and talked to him about Jesus, and he led D.L. Moody to the Lord. That's a Sunday school teacher that would not give up on a Sunday school student. What do you think about that? What I'm saying is every week here, folks, there's the marching of footsteps present. Let me ask you this. Are you involved in that? I'm so glad that we hear the echo of the footsteps of people in our church that walk the halls of nursing homes every single month. And you know what? I think those residents listen for those footsteps. You see, there's not a whole lot that goes on in their lives. And one of the biggest things, you may not understand, but one of the biggest things that happen in their life is when they look on the calendar and they know the group from Blessed Oak Baptist Church is going to come, and they're going to be able to hear preaching of the Bible and the singing of the old time hymns. And folks, listen to me. What I'm saying is this, is the footsteps haven't died off. I know some folks have fallen out, but that doesn't mean everybody's fallen out. And that doesn't mean that you should fall out or I should fall out. I know there's a new wave of even independent Baptists that want to tell you that you can sit behind your computer and reach the world. But I'm telling you that the Bible still says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the highways and byways, go and compel them to come in. Now, folks, listen to me. It's just not the marching of the footsteps that you can hear because you're here in this church. By giving the missions, do you know what? I may not be able to walk the streets and the cities of the foreign field, but I can help somebody else walk those fields. I can help bearing precious seed as they are churning out those John and Romans. Why? Because those that walk and those that are willing to take the gospel need something to take. I can help the Bissets. I'm not going to walk the streets of Ireland, but I can help the Bissets walk the streets of Ireland. Do you hear? Can you hear the marching of their steps? I can't go down to Louisville, Kentucky and try to reach a portion of that city for Christ, but we can give to help Dan Buttrell and his family go down there and carve out a new work for Jesus Christ. Ron and Donna Bragg, as you listen to their read their letters, along with Brother Ron Hodge and Barb Hodge, I'm just going to tell you, if you read their letters, folks, they're older and they shuffle a bit. And almost every letter, they feel like they need to apologize for not being able to do everything that they once could. But then they tell us what they are doing. And for their health and for their ages, all I can say is I'll just keep investing in them. So thankful for J.R. and Jenny McDonald out in Eufaula and that great army of people that work in that ministry, reaching not only the Eufaula, Oklahoma area, but touching the lives of young people all across the world through their summer camps and that city of refuge. Folks, if you've never seen it and you're heading out that way, stop in and see it. As men who are at the end of their rope and hopeless and suicidal and the world's given up on, stagger into that ranch and are loved and won to Christ and their lives are turned around and mean something. You know, Don Carney, I haven't seen Brother Don in a long time. You know why? Don and Carolyn Carney, they've gone down to the very south part of Mexico and in the part of the, is it called the Yucan Peninsula down there? And you know what they've done? That's their home. That's what they do. Read that man's letter. He's older than me, four or five years older than me, and him and his wife are just down there. You know what they're doing? Can you hear it? Can you hear the marching of their feet? Can you hear it? I can't go to Canada, but I can help John and Deborah Cadell. You know what? I can't walk into court rooms across the country and defend Christians that are being attacked, but I can help Dave Gibbs hear those footsteps walking down the hallway towards that courtroom, and those are the footsteps of hope. Ed and Jean Cook, boy, read their letters. Folks, again, here's somebody that just won't quit, neither one of them. She just celebrated a birthday. I read that, and I think it was her 80th birthday. I'm not 100% sure. And they had a big celebration. You know what they did? They celebrated the birthday, and then you know what they did after that? They went back to doing what they've done down in the country of Brazil. You know what? I just got a letter from Casey and Hope Davis, you know, and pray for them, man. They're, God's using them in a remarkable way. And the DeLongs, you know, me and my wife got to go to Australia. And you know what? For just a short time, we walked beside those who were walking the streets and of Australia, Cairns, Australia. And we got to join them just for a short time. But folks, let me tell you something. Here's another man that's on up in years, but he just keeps marching. The DeLucas, do you realize we support, as far as to my knowledge, the only Baptist missionaries to the country of Greece? You know that their laws are so strict that we cannot send missionaries there unless they can apply for residency there. You realize just because her grandfather, a couple generations, lived in Greece and the family recently immigrated, that just because of a little loophole, we have a chance to put a family in a country that does not have one other independent Baptist missionary. And you know what? I can't go to Greece. They'd throw me out. But you know what? I can help somebody else get there. The Espositos, as they walk the streets of Cambodia, and the Freedmans, as they walk the streets of Israel, think about that. Praise God. The Fitzsimmons, all these years in Haiti, and now helping other missionaries succeed. The Gazaways in Egypt. Oh, if you're not reading those letters, you're missing a blessing. You talk about a miracle. Listen, they're in a country they're not even supposed to be allowed to be in, and God just keeps opening door after door after door. What I want you to do, listen, okay, if you're sitting on the sidelines, listen, because, hey, we're not done yet. Jesus hasn't come yet. All right, marching. We need to still march. We still need to go forward. Preacher, boy, Operation Occupation, that was a good deal. Listen to what I'm going to say. I gave credit and I talked about the mission fields that we hit. But this year in Mission Field 1, there were no footsteps. In Mission Field 2, there was no footsteps. In Mission Field 3, there was no footsteps. In Mission Field 13, there were no footsteps. Mission Field 14, 15, 16. Hey, I don't know what you're doing. And if you're doing all God wants you to do, I'll be satisfied. But maybe you ought to get on your knees and double check. Because I think a city and a church this big, we ought to be able to get to every door every year. That's what your pastor believes. You know what? I'm never going to be able to serve alongside those national pastors in the Philippines and in India, but through Global Baptist Missions, we can support a man full-time that will start a church. The Hearts are in Hawaii. Man, I'd like to walk with them for a while. But you know what? I think your heart would be stirred as they go not to the rich neighborhoods, but to the homeless of Hawaii. You know what? Paul and Mickey Henry, they're on up in years, but their footsteps are still echoing in the hallways of the jails and prisons preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Hongs, we've supported them for 40 plus years. And you know what? He's going to be our guest sometime this year, and he's going to be back on furlough for a short time, been over there in Australia. You know, those Johnson boys, you know, Brian and Eddie, you know what they did? As little kids, they followed their mom and dad and listened to their footsteps as they tramped across the country of Brazil. And now, as grown men with their own wives and children, they're doing the same thing. Paul and Sarah Johnson, the Townsley's little granddaughter that we watched grow up before us as they came in and out to visit. Now, her and her husband Paul are in Japan. What are they doing? They're marching on. They're marching on. Casey and Sarah Klein, I just got a new letter from them from the Ukraine. And the Lombans got kicked out of China and couldn't get back in. So they're sending their oldest son as a missionary to take their place. And what do when they get here? They go to California and locate the largest Chinese population in the United States and go there, read their letter. They're starting a church. I'm going to keep supporting them, you know, because they can walk places that I can't walk and speak a language I cannot speak. The Lawrences have a heart for the Jews. The Limas are down there in Mexico. And you know what? Part of the footprints, the echoes of the footprints of what happened in Chicago years ago. Now those footprints continue on and down in the country of Mexico. You realize that Andy Magnarella and his wife Nancy, there's no other footsteps that you'll hear echo in the Hopi Indian tribe. They're the only ones that are in there. I'm glad that their footsteps are echoing there. Jared Montgomery and Bernadette, his wife, just landed in Puerto Rico not that long ago, and read their latest letter. You know where their footsteps have gone? Not through sidewalks or streets that are clear, but read their letter. They are walking through the debris of the last hurricane, reaching out and sharing the gospel with desperate people in a desperate place. And because of that, the hearts are open and they're seeing amazing results. Ryan Naz is in the Navajo Indian Reservation. He doesn't do anything, but his wife, Amber, she serves the Lord faithfully, and that's still a good investment. All he wants to do is try to steal white people's trucks, and so, but I still feel like it's a good investment for us. Edgar, no. Brother, no. Me and my wife got to go over there and walk alongside him and his wife and be in that camp, and I got to preach to 1,000 teenagers, and on Friday night watch 200 of them with their pastors wade out into the ocean and be baptized. And you know, we were just walking alongside for just a short time. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad he's still there, and I'm glad he's committed his life to it, and I'm glad it's carrying on. Now, these Owens boys, I'm telling you, they got a whole different plan for reaching their mission fields, okay? Because as David and Kelly Owens is busy down in South America, behind them walk David and Grace and Charity and Caleb and Naomi and Jacob. But you know what? Jonathan says, you will not outdo me. So he talks to Shannon, his wife. And as they are walking, Jonathan, Paul, and Shannon, behind them walk Catherine and Jonathan, Paul, and David, Jonathan, and Julia, Marie, and Rebecca, May, and Daniel, Joseph, and Stephen, James, and Caitlin, Ruth, and Timothy, Luke, and Elena, Rose, and Samuel, Nathan, Elizabeth, Kayla, and Jordan's Simeon. I mean, folks, when that family comes down, I mean, they take over a neighborhood. They don't go visiting. They create a stampede, amen? And praise the Lord. Those little kids are following their mom and dad and being trained to have a heart for the world. Say, preacher, we got some more? Oh, aren't you glad we've got some more? The Putnams are just getting ready to land in Brazil, and you're going to start hearing their footprints. Brother Putney came and reported from Colombia. Unbelievable what God's doing. You know why? Because you can hear the footsteps. You can listen to the echo of the footsteps. Gail Russ, you know what? He can't do what he used to do, but he can shuffle in and stand behind a microphone and get on Christian radio, and he's still doing it faithfully all these years. The Russells in Senegal, and man, the Rybergs, as they go from base to base and have a heart for our United States military. And hey, we've got a family that came out of here, and we sent down to Princeton. And you know what? I don't walk the streets of Princeton, and I don't knock on those doors, but I can have a little part to help somebody else do it. The Silveras in Brazil and the Shavers in Iceland. Think about that. It's the Simmons up in Uruguay and the Smiths in Lithuania. There's a new letter from the Smiths. Read about that. Just had a little baby girl. Their whole life is turned upside down. They're still trying to figure it out. Amen. The Steers. You remember Brother Steers as he stood up here and preached? Brother Steers walks like this, but you know what? I think he has beautiful feet. And him and his wife, Laura, she's battling cancer. If you've been reading the letters, you know about these things. And you know what? But they're there, and they're still there. In every letter, there's a testimony about them winning somebody else to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that we support the sword of the Lord. Be in prayer, please, for Brother Smith. You know, he turned 77 years old this year. 77. You know, sometime probably in the near future, there's going to have to be a passing of the torch and a new mantle on a new man. And you know what I hope? Listen, I don't care. I want God's will. Whatever that will is, I'm fine with. But I want it to be a man who still believes in the footsteps and still believes in going out and doing what the Bible has told us to do. Tommy Tillman, I just shake my hand. Over a dozen stints in his heart. And yet he'll get on that plane and fly back to Mongolia and Thailand on a regular basis. And can you see that old man now in his 80s shuffling along, reaching out, sitting down beside a leper, putting his arm around him, opening a Bible and telling him how much Jesus loves them. Woo! The Todds are in Costa Rica, and the Ungers, I don't know where they're at. I never hear from Brother Unger. And so he's either in the youth prisons preaching or he may be in prison. If I ever get a letter from him, I'll let you know. Sam Wilson and Rhonda Wilson and missionaries trying to reach the Jews in Israel and the Wrights in Greenland, the Yetzers in Italy, and then our radio stations that we support. Folks, are you getting this? Are you getting this? What I'm saying is they're still marching. Are you? They're still marching. Hey, nobody's called time out. Nobody said quit. Okay? It's not right for us to spend a month trying to decide how we can buy our way out of this. Come on. It's time to go, time to go, time to go, time to go. You can park your car and walk into Walmart. You can't park your car and walk to one house. We can hide behind excuses all we want. But I'm telling you, there's a lost and dying world out there. And we can't reach it all with just a few. We need everybody to get involved and be involved. You know what? A teenage boy that used to be one of the teenagers now walk the streets of Wakefield, Rhode Island, and pastors the Curtis Corner. I'm glad the footsteps, you can still hear. Little girl that I used to watch walk across the street across from me as I'm on youth soul winning, a little girl. And she used to tag up with Lindsay, which is a bad combination. But there's little Hannah across the street. And you know what? It's a little 14-year-old girl. She's standing there with an open Bible, winning a teenage girl to the Lord. Well, she does it over in Bloomfield. Okay, Caleb is over there down in Warwick, Rhode Island, and Lindsay is down in Florida. And you know what? She still marches every weekend. She still marches. Derek and Rebecca are in Butte, Montana, and Jesse and Heather. Man, I'm going to tell you, I've got some of the most blessed reports from what's going on in Michigan. And he sends me a picture the other day. And he showed up, he had three teenagers, and he was having a youth activity, and 17 young people were there, and he said he took a picture of them. You talk about a rough-looking bunch, amen. But Jesse's the man for the job there. David and Ashley are walking the streets of Rock Island and resurrecting a church that needs to be revived and restarted and re-energized. I've got a baby girl out in Sacramento, California, and along with her, one of her best friend growing up, Kelsey's out there, and both of them are missionaries, mostly to their husbands, but also to the people there that need Jesus. I guess that would be their husbands. And then I'm so glad that I've got a nephew down in Madison Baptist Church in Madison, Alabama. Folks, are you listening to this? They're still marching, still marching, still marching. Oh, preacher, there's a lot that aren't marching anymore. Yeah, I know. And if you sit down with them, I'm sure that they could give you an hour full of excuses and reasons and show you some alleys, but it doesn't make the Great Commission go away. Daniel and Rachel, they're down in Mount Vernon, Kentucky, and then Stephen and Stephen and Sister Tanya. I thought about this when I was prepping the message. Here's a little girl that when your footsteps were falling in Worthington, God led you to Stephanie's house, and now Stephanie and Stephen are joined together, and they're in Greenfield, Indiana, and you know what they're doing? They're out there chasing, they're out there visiting, they're out there reaching. She's reaching teenage girls that were just where she was when she got reached. The marching of footsteps present, did you hear it? The last one is short. I want to present to you the last thing I'd like you to listen for, and that's the question of footsteps future. The question of footsteps future. Because you see, just as the last generation passed away, that were at one time the present generation, this present generation, and a lot of our folks, I'm talking about the men and women that pioneered this work, are going more and more, we're going more and more to see them in hospitals, and we're spending more time grieving over caskets. And it's up to a new generation. You see, I'm 58 years of age, and thank God, God's still giving me good health. Pastor Nono tried to kill me over in the Philippines, but I think I've recovered, and I'm back. But you know what? Listen to me. I don't know. Hey, remember what I preached? I can't see the scoreboard. I don't know what the scoreboard says. I don't know how much time I have left. You don't know how much time you have left. But I'm going to tell you something. When you stand before Jesus one of these days, you're going to be glad that you were part of that marching army that went in and obeyed the Great Commission, the last request of a Savior who was about to ascend and leave to a handful of Christians the job of reaching the whole world. The first thing that came out of his mouth was the word go. Go, as he gave his last marching orders, go. Question of the footsteps of future. Will there be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years now? Will there still be teenagers here that think it's important to go out on Wednesdays and reach the world for Jesus Christ? Will there be young couples that'll say, okay, I see that the older folks can't carry the load anymore, but you know what? We have strength and we have energy, and they did it when they could, and now it's our time to do it while we can. I don't want Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 10 years or 15 years or 20 years just to be a church that used to have a bus ministry and used to have a soul winning program. We bought into the lies. It became more important to the church to become like the world than reach the world. I'd hate to think, looking from heaven, I'd look down here and instead of having old-fashioned King James Bible preaching and a challenge to reach the world, that there on this sacred stage would be guitars and drums and a bunch of folks that are more interested in being entertained than they are reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the world say what they will. Let other churches throw rocks and stones. Let backsliders level their accusations. I don't have time to answer it all. You see, I'm going somewhere, and I'm doing something. And there's still more people that need to be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. So as long as these nine toes can march, they're going to march. They're going to go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to thank a church that has not allowed your preacher to do that alone. I want to thank a new generation that's catching fire and catching a vision and saying, preacher, you know what? Yeah, our lives are busy. But by the way, so was Don and Jean Mowry's when they were our age. Yeah, our lives are busy, but so was Charles and Ruth English's when they were our age. But you know what? It's time for a new generation to get out of the recliner, get off the computer, throw the video games away, and get out there and grab some of those packets and some gospel tracts and go find somebody who needs to hear about Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. For just 10 or 15 seconds, I'm going to be quiet, and I want you to listen to see if you can hear any of what I've asked you to listen to tonight. Do you hear the echoes of the previous generation who now is that great cloud of witnesses looking down, cheering you on, begging you, telling you it's worth it, it'll be worth it when you get to heaven? Can you hear the marching of your brothers and sisters every single week as they go forward into the harvest fields? Can you hear the marching around you? Young people, you're our hope for future footsteps. You're our hope. You're it. Heavenly Father, please move in our hearts, Lord. May we picture our Savior now in his resurrected body, but still the nail prints in his hands, still the nail prints in his feet. He can move aside his robe and show you where they thrust him through. He's fulfilled the will of his Father. It's time for him to ascend and sit on the right hand of the Father. But he looks into the eyes of 120 disciples and says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go. Go. But I don't see why. Just go and then you'll see. But I just don't feel it in my heart. Just go and you'll eventually feel it in your heart. I'm not even sure what God wants me. Just go. Just go. Lord, move in our hearts during this month, we pray in Jesus' name.